The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Fausto Mai, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Manx Radio. Monday lunchtime, live from the Isle of Man, and your chance to have your say, because we're open line through till one today. Had a great time on Friday. We were inside at Ramsey Pier, at the Queen's Pier. If it had been nice weather, we would have been outside, but if we'd been outside, we'd have probably been blown halfway to the Len. But anyway, great time. Thanks to everybody for the time we had on Friday. And by the way, if you're heading to Braddon tonight, you're heading to attend the Commissioner's requisition meeting, please, please don't drive. Don't make the situation any worse. Use public transport or walk to the Roundhouse. For weeks, the Commissioners and DHSC have been in dispute over access to the building. Tonight's meeting is going to discuss the cost and the future of the community centre. Now, Braddon Commissioners say there are numerous public parking spaces in the area, and the walkways to the building from Braddon Road and Bala Oates Road are now open. So the walkways are open. It's added, if you choose to drive on the hospital roads, you should follow the clear advice given by Manx Care in January and drive with caution. The meeting is tonight at 7 o'clock for the future and the cost. And basically, you'll hear what the commissioners have to say at the Roundhouse tonight. And David's first with us today. Hi, David.
Hi, Randy. I can't believe this government, and I just wonder whether it was Mr. Hooper putting nails in an effigy for Braddon Commissioners. I'm a patient for palatine surgery. The last time was a couple of months ago. I went to the surgery there, or when I finally got an appointment, and I waited, I'm not kidding you, an hour and a half. So who's going to prosecute me as a patient for the practice? How are they going to enforce that law when it's their own practice car park? And who's going to put the tickets on? And who's going to send the letters out to say, Mr. Quirk, you were over 30 minutes by 10 seconds, and if you send me a letter or an email, we'll take it off. We'll take the charge off you. What is the fine going to be?
Well, I think, isn't it initially £60? Or £30 initially, doubling up to 60. But I mean, this is basically that they're enforcing those car parking spaces are stopping people who are nicking them for the whole day. I mean, they're supposed to be for people who are attending. But obviously, if you do get a ticket, then you just get a letter from the surgery and they'll say you were in there.
I'll give an example. A colleague of mine actually was 18 inches over WL lines. I sent the appeal letter in well over 10 days ago, still waiting for a reply, to a lady who was really stressed out, which in Onchan, the DOI sadly forgot to reinforce the disable pattern on the floor, and some guy, I think, got away with it. Who was parking there for hours on end. I just wonder what the government's trying to do to us all, keep us in our homes all the time. And how much time is it going to take from a civil servant or the person that's in the surgery to go out and put tickets on people and just say, and what happens with people which have disabled stickers parking there in the disabled zone which they're entitled to for 2 hours?
Well, it just feels like this is an enormous faff, isn't it, David? This is what should be a fairly routine parking outside a GP surgery has now turned into a military exercise.
It is, and I'm so ashamed of them. I'm so ashamed of Hooper. And the department, one minute it's the department's issue, the next minute it's the housing, the health board. You know, do we want to make issues for people who live here on the Isle of Man? We're supposed to do things reasonably, aren't we? We're supposed to be an island that can do things, put legislation together, do things properly. What is Mr. Hooper trying to achieve?
You just wonder, don't you, what anybody thinking of coming to the Isle of Man. You know, if Locate Isle of Man have, you know, been working with somebody or, you know, bringing a business to the Isle of Man, and they suddenly hear this sort of thing going on. You know, we are highlighting a negative, and I don't like to highlight a negative, but what can't speak can't lie. This is actually happening.
It is. And the other thing, too, don't forget, too, is not only the doctors are there, there's the practice there for nurses as well.
Yep.
So you've got about, I think at the back, 7 or 8 rooms, which you can come to see a practice nurse. If you've got minor ailments, you can get your jabs done there. You wait in a little room there. And I remember getting some jabs done a while ago now, and I was there, I think, an hour. Because people go to the doctor a little bit earlier to make sure you can get in. Like I say, I can't understand what they're trying to do. A couple of minor things, if I could, Andy, which are very vital to people.
Okay.
Why are the toilets closed at the Gaiety up the arcade?
Are they closed?
They're closed, big shutters on them. And they've also, there's also there the crossing. You know the crossing you go from the War Memorial over?
Yeah.
Why are they barriered off? So the safe place to cross is through a zebra crossing, isn't it?
So when were the public toilets closed, you know?
Well, I know they were definitely closed today.
Right.
I had a colleague of mine came on and told me as well that he was down there. And when you need a toilet, you need a toilet, don't you?
And not only that, there were hundreds of darts players and fans there over the weekend.
Well, I don't know.
I'm not casting aspersions, yeah, but those boys like a drink, so you need as many loos as possible. So let's hope they were open at the weekend.
They were probably smoking outside too, and then he went to the loo, or didn't go to the loo, or done it in the passageway or something like that. Do we want that in the Isle of Man? I thought we could do things, and I think your programme should be is get the minister responsible to say, Minister, why aren't you doing this? Minister, why aren't you doing that? Or what are you doing it for?
Coming back to, and this is mentioned before about public toilets, and it does sound, it sounds silly, it sounds facetious. Actually, it's not. Public toilets are a mark of civilization.
It is. And I hope people will either back us up on it or have a different point of view. But if you're a Palatine patient, I'd be writing or leaving notes to the Palatine surgery and asking them, who made the decision? Who forced you to do the decision? Because it's a business, the doctors. It's a business.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
It's not a thing. Maybe we should have shares in the business and then we can have free parking. All right?
All right, thanks for calling today. All right, good to hear from you. Can anybody tell us then, were the loos open in the Gaiety Arcade at the weekend while the Darts Festival was on? And by the way, if you are phoning Palatine, be very nice. Come on, be polite to the receptionist. It's not their fault. They didn't do it. But it's on tonight, 7 o'clock, that requisition meeting, just getting in and behind the situation at the Roundhouse with the DHSC and also Braddon Commissioners. Wilf's on. Hi, Wilf.
Hi, a better day today, Albie. Now, I'm just ringing in on behalf of a couple of people who don't like to ring in themselves. It's one lady that does regular walks up to the Albert Tower above Ramsey.
Yeah.
And we have various aerials up there, and some of them were put up a few years ago to imitate a tree, just to sort of, you know, so they don't look so bad as an aerial.
These are the mobile phone aerials with imitation branches stuck on them.
That's the one. Well, the branches have fallen off.
Oh, dear.
They're plastic and they've fallen off, and apparently they're scattering themselves around the woods, and this lady is going around and picking them up and putting them in bin bags and taking them down. But regularly she goes up, and every time she goes up, there's more off. So you're going to end up with just a pole eventually. So she would, if somebody can do something about this, either, well, I don't know what they would do, but put more leaves on, I don't know, or make sure they tie them on or something, I don't know. And the other one was another gentleman that takes regular walks at the Point of Ayre. And he's very concerned now about the erosion getting very, very close to Wright's Tip. I mean, somebody's been on before about this, but I've seen it because, I mean, I've done hundreds of tons of that rights tip in the past.
I mean, I'm sure, Wilf, in the past 10, 15 years, there was a case where there was some rubbish going out into the sea, wasn't there, where when the tide breached the landfill?
Yes, well, it's on its way again, and it's getting pretty close. And there's, well, like, thousands of tons were dumped in there. So eventually it's going to be the right mess. So if there's any repairs to erosion, maybe that's the first place to start.
Well, you wouldn't want to be washing our 30, 40 year old rubbish out into the Irish Sea.
Well, no, because when the tide is coming in, it runs south, and that's towards Ramsey. And we've got enough rubbish on our beaches at the moment, so we don't want any more. And then when it runs, when it's emptying, it runs north, and that takes it out. Could end up on Scotland's beaches.
Oh crikey! All right. Okay. Well,
there's a lot of it.
We had a good time on Friday, and I never knew you were on Radio Caroline.
Yes. Well, I'm not saying I was pulled alongside of it in my own boat, and I could have gone aboard it, but I'm fishing because. Apparently, the first boats that went out there to take supplies out, one or two people on it took a fishing rod with them and just fished while this was getting unloaded and what have you.
Oh, right.
And they caught lots of cod. So everybody was going out there round about the Caroline to fish, and I just happened to go out there one day in my own boat, tied up alongside them, and... Well, I could have went up the ladder and got on, but I actually fished off my own boat right tight alongside them. So, you know, and caught a lot of cod.
Yeah, okay. All right,
actually,
thanks,
Will. When you were talking a little while ago about the case of Aragon out there...
Yeah, Arthur Corran, wasn't it?
Yes, Arthur Corran, yes. We used to regularly use that to go fishing. Went out round the Caroline one day, and we... When we come in, after we took what we wanted off the boat, we left poor Arthur a ton of cod on the boat for him to gut in the harbour.
I'm sure he was very grateful. All right. Thanks, Wilf.
Okay.
All right, good to hear from you. The Villabarina arcade toilets have been closed for a week, says Matt in Douglas. There are no notices why, just shutters closed with plants in front. This is a very poor offering for public toilets around Douglas. I can't think of any that are still free to use now. Well, they've barriered off the ones inside the Strand Shopping Centre, the ones that used to be public in there. You can't use any loos in there. And I think, can you imagine those boys at the darts festival at the weekend with no loos if they were wandering up and down the prom? Somebody somewhere must know about this and why the loos are... The aerials, by the way, says John in Laxey, those aerials are a complete eyesore at the Albert Tower. The commissioners never object to them, so their silence helped the radio tree antennas being put up. Well, it was years ago. I'm trying to think. That's 20 years and more, isn't it? Are they Manx Telecom towers, the ones that are there? It must have been, because Shaw came after Manx Telecom, so I'm guessing those... If you know the ones I mean, if you're down on the mountain road heading past Hibernia, on the left-hand side, you can see them. It used to be a very straight tree with branches jutting out at equal intervals, and some of them are falling off. So whoever that tree is, if you could get something else back up there, that will be fantastic. It's 20 past 12, and Juan's on now. Hi, Juan.
How was your weekend, Andy?
Actually, I went to the Ravens on Saturday night. What a match that was. They played like they didn't know each other in the first half. 2-0 down at half-time, a man sent off, and won 3-2. It was brilliant.
Many spectators?
It was good, yeah, a lot of them there. A lot came over from Lancashire as well. So it was good. It was a great atmosphere on Saturday night. It was good fun.
Good, good. I'm sure that was lively on the boat going back as well. Just before I touch on a couple of subjects, I just wanted to go into a bit of housekeeping. And I asked you last week, or the beginning of the last week, where Manx Radio got its news from, and you said Sky, which was owned by Comcast. So I just wanted to tidy that one up a little bit about housekeeping on Comcast, which the main shareholders are Vanguard, State Street, and BlackRock, as it is. I think I've mentioned BlackRock quite a few times. So just to tidy that one up of who actually owns these here places that we're getting our news from.
Yeah, well Comcast bought Sky News. You know, Sky Television News, they bought, because I think Rupert Murdoch sold, I think he still owns Sky, or somebody owns Sky. But certainly Sky News was kind of put to one side. Sky News, I mean, it's basically the old independent radio news. They bought that, the old IRN. So they supply news, international, UK and international news, to all the commercial radio stations in the UK. So that's all provided from there. And we just happen to be one of the people who takes that.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And my point being is the owners, the main shareholders, are BlackRock, Vanguard and State Street. That's my point there. And and the main shareholder of that is just give $150 million to the Israeli government for help. So just a little point on who owns these places. And
well, he's not written to me lately anyway.
And going on to the listening to the debacle up at the Braddon commissioners there and Mr. Hooper's department, and I'm just wondering which part of the smart city application that's going to come under, because it's not sounding very smart at the moment. So the Isle of Man is actively exploring smart city applications, leveraging technologies like IoT and AI for urban management and development. Where do you think that's going to head then, Andy?
I'll tell you what, I had an interesting walk around between Upper and Lower Douglas on Saturday. I was down Christian Road, down Mona Street, and down there. And there are some derelict buildings, some dilapidated properties. And you would have thought, if you were going to put a five-minute city, you'd put them on places closer to the centre of Douglas, i.e. Christian Road, Mona Street around there, and where else? Oh, Kingswood Terrace. Kingswood Grove, sorry, around there, and Harris Terrace as well. You know, there are some really dilapidated buildings there, and that's a lot closer to the centre of Douglas than Westmorland Road is.
There is, and I just wonder with this smart city. Now, I've actually been living in a smart city for the last 5 weeks, and but that was a city that was built 20 years ago and is all singing, all dancing. I'm just wondering where this smart adventure is going to go in connection to the Isle of Man, and on which way they're going to go with it, as in this word smart, because if we look at one way of smart cities is the WEF way, and you know there's a nice way of where a smart city goes. I'm just wondering where the AI is going to come into that.
Well, just let's bring it closer to home. How are you going to stop Manx people buying a car? I mean, how are you? Manx people love cars. Everybody likes a car on the Isle of Man. Lots of houses, and that's the big problem with Domain Road and around there is, you know, what used to be one house has been turned into four flats, and everybody's got a car, so you can't park down there. It gets very fraught. Now, how they're hoping to enforce? What are they going to say to people? You know, if we know that you've got a car, you can't have a property. So what will people do? Park it somewhere else? It's not been explained, really, as to how this is going to work.
Exactly that. Again, the transparency, which the government keep talking about, is not very transparent. It's about as clear as an opaque window. And you're right. I mean, what is the answer to that? Is they going to do the same as what they're doing with Ring doorbells and keep pricing it out of the market and putting the prices up so it becomes not efficient to have a car? I don't know. I don't think they know the answer. They just grab onto these smart city things and everything that they're being told to do and run with it. Not
you see,
knowing
if you know, I don't know whether they've got a plan for this, but I mean, if they suddenly popped out of nowhere, if you know, surprise, surprise, they showed their face and said, "Look, around this five-minute city around Westmorland Road, Domain Road, we're going to make sure there are two minibuses every hour from 6 in the morning till midnight, and you can get a bus free of charge. Now, suddenly, it would start to make sense. One of those little hoppers, you know, 12 people can get on board, and suddenly it's absolutely fine. But up until now, they've not said anything. There's no kind of, at the moment, no public transport goes down Domain Road. Doesn't go. Can't fit half the time. So it doesn't seem to be, they're not heading off any objections at the pass.
The Victorians weren't so far behind the mark when they'd done the tram link right the way up through the centre of Douglas, were they?
Well, that would be a thought if they suddenly had a rush of blood to the head and said, we're bringing the tramway back up from the sea terminal to York Road, bringing it up Bucks Road. That would be a start. I mean, it would be kind of retrofitting it, but at the moment, if you're going to live in this new five-minute city around Westmorland Road, if it's ever finished, how are you going to move around? I mean, how is anybody going to move around and get to anywhere they want to get? If they're expecting everybody to leg it, well, that's fine between, say, April and October. But from November through to March, what do they expect?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You know, we haven't got that kind of territory for a smart city. There was two other things I wanted to jump on there, in case anyone else come on. The Manx Euthanasia Seminar, which is on and tomorrow.
Tomorrow night, it's at the Lecture Theatre at the Manx Museum, yes.
Yeah, Lessons from Canada is the headline. So if anyone's interested in that, it might be worth going. It's obviously a contentious issue, but they've got some points which I think Julian has raised with Lessons from Canada. So if anyone's interested in that, I think it was a very short notice. It hasn't had a lot of advertising. And I just wanted to mention as well John Webster's interview with Phil Gorn on the Perspective programme. And I think John was brought on during the recent budget.
Yes, he was.
He had some very, very interesting points, which I think Phil brought him on about. And I was very enlightened to hear his take on reinventing and looking after farming, which is what I've been saying for quite a few years now. And the discussion was obviously saying that it's not going to be a huge financial gain, but I think the thing we have to look at here is securing ourselves. And we're talking about energy security, but farming and food security is very, very important in these times. And I think the footprint with the food miles is important. Well, we can have a fantastic agriculture business here, which could feed out to England, looking at the way things are going with all the other agriculture problems in the Netherlands, Germany and Ireland at the moment. But I was very interested in John's points. He brought up some very good points. And again, the direction which the Isle of Man is going, and back to what we were saying the other week of who's driving this bus that Alf Cannon is taking us down, whose direction it is. I'm still very concerned that we've got certain members of the civil service in there, and I say certain members, who are directing this, maybe not the bus that we want to direct for the Manx people, but they're certainly directing it for someone. Okay. But John's points were quite good, and I think if people are interested, to listen to the Perspective programme for an hour and have a listen to it.
It's available as a podcast, I think, and listen again. So if you want to listen to that, yes. I mean, John Webster is he's a trained economist. He knows of what he speaks.
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah, and very, very interesting. But just evaluating some of the points that I've been making, you know.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's me for today, Andy.
Thanks, Ewan. Good to hear from you. Thanks for that today. And Dodsey's on now. Hi, Dodsey.
Hello, mate. Hello, guys. Yeah, just to give you a little bit of a heads up, the government have listened to us for a change. If you've been on Facebook and been on Douglas Promenade on the beach, they've actually pulled all the shingle and all the sand back away from the walls. Not by the war memorial, may I add, but up by, I think it's the Empress, up by that part of the beach.
Oh, that's just
all the shingle back.
They had the digger there last week doing that, didn't they?
Yeah. So
you can actually see the sea wall.
Oh, yeah. And also they've pulled all the old all the rocks and pebble back as well. Unfortunately, they haven't done it by the bottom of Broadway, so wherever whatever that part of the beach is called. They haven't pulled all the shingle and all the seaweed and stuff away from there. They just mound that, as what they normally do.
But well, we've been asking the question, but they say it's just beach management, so we can't get a specific answer as to what they're actually doing. So at the moment, as you say, they're just digging it away by the Empress. So we'll wait and see. But for the moment, it's time for selfies. This is go and see the sea wall.
Yeah, I mean, at least it's progress. I mean, I know the Alemann government isn't great, but, I mean, someone in government has actually listened for once and said, right, let's get a team on there, small as it may be, and pull some of the shingle back.
All right, OK.
Hopefully they'll do the rest of the beach at the bottom of Broadway.
Here's hoping. All right, thanks, Dodgy.
Time will tell. Cheers. Bye-bye.
28 minutes before one. So tonight at the Roundhouse, it's the requisition meeting for Bradton Commissioners, the future of the Roundhouse, what it's all costing as well, and the future for businesses, and obviously the GP surgery and what have you around there, and certainly the future of the sports hall, really. I mean, so you can get an answer. All the commissioners are going to be there tonight. Tomorrow night, this meeting that June referred to is the Manx Museum Lecture Theatre, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, and the people, it's been hosted by the Manx Duty of Care, which is an informal group of Manx health and social care workers who are opposed to the proposed assisted dying bill, which has been introduced as a private member's bill in Tynwald in Keys first, then in Tynwald, by Dr. Allenson, Alex Allenson, who, of course, was a GP for many years. So that assisted dying bill is being brought in. They're calling it assisted suicide in euthanasia, and I think the meeting is called Manx Euthanasia? Lessons from Canada. It's tomorrow, Tuesday, 12th of March, 7 o'clock. There's a lecture by Alex Schadenberg, who's the Executive Director of Euthanasia Prevention Coalition, whatever that is, and Duncan Jerry, who is a consultant in elderly care medicine at Nobles Hospital. So they're going to be giving that lecture, and there'll be a question and answer, and admission is absolutely free. If something you're interested in, you want to go along, by all means do. I'm sure we'll have a Manx Radio microphone there. Just Care Products for
mobility solutions. Just Care Products are the island's exclusive stockists of DB wide fit shoes. Recommended by professionals with a measuring service available, DB shoes come in a huge range of styles, colours and sizes. Come and try in store. We're just behind B&Q. And if you don't find what you want, we'll order in. For more information, call 627 177. Just Care Products, proud stockists of DB shoes and Cozy Feet footwear.
When you need a fitting memorial or headstone for a loved one, contact Manx Memorials in Peel. This long-standing family-run Manx company offer a wide range of granite and marble headstones and memorials, along with an island-wide inscription and renovation service. Manx Memorial's skilled professionals will take the time to help you choose a suitable memorial, and we're proud to say we'll beat other local quotes. Call 843 861 or email matthew@manxmemorials.co.uk.
Your home is your castle, and we think that too. So when you're thinking of new flooring, think Castle Carpets. With over 50 rolls of stock and thousands of samples to choose from, let us carpet your castle. Call 842 480 or visit the showroom in Peel.
Preparing to leave school soon and thinking about the future, or maybe looking to reskill? University College Isle of Man offer a variety of full and part-time further education level courses, or earn while you learn through an apprenticeship. Courses include engineering, arts, sports, hairdressing, childcare and business, plus science, forensics, animal management, healthcare and more. Earn valuable qualifications and skills that will set you up for a successful future. Visit ucm.ac.im to find your perfect course.
The scandal surrounding the actions of the UK Post Office in connection with wrongful persecution of sub-postmasters is rarely off the news lately, thanks in part to the significant campaign for justice led by Alan Bates. Looking at the facts as we now know them, it seems remarkable that a common-sense test hadn't been applied by the Post Office chiefs. On agenda this evening at 6pm on Manx Radio with me, Phil Gorn, corporate investigator Rob Kinraid explains how properly trained staff should be able to spot such situations and avoid the huge stress and embarrassment caused when things go so badly wrong.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
24 minutes now before one. Howard's on now. Hi, Howard.
Hi, Andy. Just a curio on your news report and the other stations as well. The delay in the construction of the Edward Pier extension.
Yeah.
Now, the original costings were around about $6 million. Understandable with the machinery and equipment they have to have, but now they've delayed it until after race week, which will be the end of June. So we have quite a long period where there's going to be nothing done, but the equipment is still there. There's that large crane, smaller cranes, and various other bits and pieces. Now, the government seemed to have stopped the contract for whatever reason. I may be wrong, it might be the company. But is this delay going to cost the taxpayers more money because of the extension? Because all that equipment will still have to be paid for on a higher...
Yeah, and I suppose it depends whether whether the machinery is on hire or whether they've kind of hired it for the job itself. But there will be an implication, surely, for that.
Yeah. Well, who is the cost going to fall on? Is it the designers? Is it the people that done the exploratory work? Is it the company that's doing the work, or the taxpayer? Are we going to end up with a smaller version of the Liverpool landing stage where it keeps going up and up and up? As I say, initially, if my memory serves me, it was $6 million, which is understandable with the equipment that's needed. And that big crane that's down there, that won't be cheap to hire on a daily basis. So we've got a couple of months where it's going to be sitting doing virtually nothing. And who's going to pay for the extra steel and concrete, etc., to go down the extra depth that's required?
All right, then. Let's have a wager, Howard. When do you think it's going to be finished?
Well, I'll be an old grey-haired man, which I am now. But I would say the next year.
Christmas or after?
Yeah, well, they've got a huge tyre balloon effort being made, haven't they? Especially for the job. I think they said something 100 tonne or something like that. It's been made specially for the job. Now, that will have to be brought over, and all this will have to be in situ before they can fit that properly. So it's going to, an answer should come from government within the DOI. Who is going to pay for this? And not an excuse, give a reason. But you were saying about the five-minute city, the quarter-of-an-hour city.
Yeah.
Many, many years ago, I went across to Canada, and the Chamber of Trade, they had a free bus service running around Vancouver. You could get on and off, and this was going around. All there was about three buses going around all day, every day, and they were absolutely free, and you get on and off. But that was going around the actual city, and it was a Chamber of Trade that paid for them. Well, every time I hear of this walking capabilities, they're not building these houses, they're building them to purchase or to sell. But the people that's buying them is going to get older, more infirm, and has this been taken into consideration at the 15-minute city?
Well, we don't know, because trying to get a word out of the Manx Development Corporation is like getting Shergard to speak. Trying to get them to actually answer any questions. And they may have something up their sleeves. They may have, you know, an idea whereby there's going to be free minibuses and everybody can whiz around to their heart's content. But at the moment, you know...
Yeah.
This 15-minute city is at the top of a big hill. So
exactly.
When you walk down, you've got to walk back. You know, it's not like it's on the prom where everything's flat. It's at the top of a big hill.
It's a bit like these people advocating cycling everywhere. You see, the island is hills. That's what it stands for, the Isle of Man, Isle of Mona. And everywhere you go, it's either you're going downhill, but you've got a steep hill to come back up. And the people who are going to purchase these houses are going to be on long-term mortgages. So they're getting older by the day. And their ability in the later years to walk down there in a quarter of an hour, whatever it may be, is going to diminish. So who are these people who's thinking this? You see them advocating this all the way through the UK, and it's something that they've read in a comic somewhere. We'll build a 15-minute city. And, oh, that's a good idea for Douglas. But I don't know. It makes me wonder sometimes at the mentality of these people.
All right, okay.
That's all. As I say, just a question to the government. What is going to be the final costs of this now there's a delay on it? That's only the thin end of the wedge.
I can guess one thing, Howard, by the way. I'm going to guess who's going to pay for it.
Yep. And who has already paid for it. It's going to be a bit like the power station. The committee will run away from it. It's nothing to do with me. I knew about it, but it was nothing to do with me.
All right, Howard, thanks for calling.
Take care. Bye now.
This is a story of delays caused by uneven bedrock at the end of the King Edward VIII Pier in Douglas Harbour, which will set this project back. The project is to upgrade the site, but it's going to be set back by several months. DOI it is, by the way. DOI currently in the process of altering the structure to accommodate the steam package newest vessel, Manxman, which has been here for a while now. It's been here quite a while, and it's all this was planned, apparently. The major engineering project got underway in September last year with an end date stated to be in the new year. We are now on the 11th day of the third month of that new year. David Guberman is the director of Harbours, and he says now it's going to be likely after TT. Now, if you want a full, if you want to look at the full story, including all the diagrams of what they're doing, where the rock depth is, and the sort of machinery they're going to be using, go to maxradio.com, click on news. King Edward VIII Pier project delayed until after TT. And you can find out the exact cost of the roundhouse by putting a Freedom of Information request to Braddon Commissioners and ask for what is called a bill of quantities, and they have to divulge it by law. Fran, have you done it? Get on to it. I think they've said already how much the exact cost is, but you can find out tonight by nipping along, and all the commissioners are going to be there. I think the recent high tide swept the beaches. It did the same at Ramsey North Beach, down by 3 feet, says 206. Yes, but there was a digger out on Douglas Beach last week as well. S says, 768, this is, why are people obsessed with what's going on in Canada with a sister dying? There are many other areas that seem to run services with no problems. I've got a relative in Amsterdam, and there's nobody drag screaming to be put down. It's quietly, it's in the background, until you might need to discuss the possibility with your GP. The public has a responsibility to stand up against anything unethical, and over here we have a lot more direct control with government. I've no problem with the words euthanasia and suicide. If it's not available and I need it, then suicide by my own hand. S, this is. S's words, S's opinion on 768. There are many places around the world in which assisted dying is available. And it is proposed to bring it into the Isle of Man. The assisted dying bill has been introduced now to a committee report is being compiled. At the moment, we're at the discussion phase, as it were. And if you want to find out more about it and you want to see the other side, there's that meeting tomorrow night at the Manx Theatre. I got a note. Oh, by the way, I've got to say thanks to everybody. I must say, I forgot to say it at the start of the programme, just to see everybody who was at Ramsey Queen's Pier last Friday. It was a very illuminating broadcast, and I don't know whether you heard it, and if you didn't, you can hear the podcast about how much it's going to cost to finish the pier. £4.5 million to finish that pier, and that this is with volunteers getting involved. The DOI does provide some services, but it's mainly volunteers. £4.5 million to finish what is a beautiful pier. I mean, it really is. And if you imagine when Ramsey Queen's Pier is going to be finished, and you can walk out right out into the sea, and they have lights on it in the evening. Just be able to walk out on a summer evening. It will be absolutely fantastic. So all power to their elbow. Thanks to Dennis Kerfey, who's the project manager, and obviously brother Graham Kerfey. Keith Dalrymple was there from the Chamber of Commerce. James and Jody Evans from the Ramsey Garden Centre, talking about what trade's like in and around Ramsey. David Furnival is the chairman of the Queen's Pier Restoration Trust. And it was good also to talk to the Ramsey Town Commissioners, Clark, Tim Cowan, and Stephen Bevan, the deputy as well. And of course, Wilf Young was there, one of the commissioners from Ramsey Commissioners. There was a brand new commissioner elected last Thursday night. We were hoping she was going to be with us. She couldn't make it. Sandra Cottomshay was elected to the vacant seat, sadly caused by the death of Leonard Singer. But it was a good time on Ramsey, and hopefully be back when the weather's better.
Would you consider leaving a gift in your will to Hospice Isle of Man? As a charity, we need to raise millions every year just to continue providing our services. Your support means that we can give our care to all those who need it, when they need it, completely free of charge. If you're considering making a will or adding a hospice donation to your will, please give us a call to find out more on 672222. Every penny raised makes a huge difference to every individual and family who needs us. Thank you.
How do you really get to feel healthier? Eat healthier. ShopRite's Healthy Choice ranges make it easy and truly enjoyable. All over our chillers and freezers, food that even sounds better for you. Like the Gym Kitchen protein-packed frozen meals, Plant Chef plant-based chilled and frozen food, and Free From ranges across the store from pasta to cereal. Better for you doesn't have to mean boring anymore. Try our range of healthier alternatives. Available now at ShopRite.
I wish I had a better savings account.
Did you hear about Skipton International's great rates for their savings accounts?
No, tell me more.
Skipton are currently offering a 5% AER fixed rate account maturing 14th of March 2025.
Wow, that's a really good deal.
It's no wonder Guernsey's bank Skipton International offers some of the best rates around.
For details of all Skipton savings products, call 01484 1730 or visit skiptoninternational.com. It's time to switch to Skipton. No withdrawals allowed until maturity. Interest is paid annually and upon maturity. Skipton International is licensed to take deposits by the GFSC and is a participant in the Guernsey Banking Deposit Compensation Scheme. See dcs.gg.
The Manx Gaelic, Chinian Amera, the mother tongue of Alan Vanin, the Isle of Man. You can catch up with more of Manx Radio's Manx language programmes in the weekly podcast Abershen Rish. Say that again.
Abershen Rish.
Shene, that's the one.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
12 minutes before one. It's Monday, and every Monday and Friday on Man in Line, we're looking back during Manx Radio's 60 years, our 60th anniversary year. We're going back this year to 2001 for the outbreak of foot and mouth in the UK and the implications for the Isle of Man. We're revisiting 2001 and the foot and mouth outbreak and the plans that were in place to protect the Isle of Man from the outbreak. John Moss has been delving into the archives, in particular how Lockton sheep were well placed on the Calf of Man. That's after Man in Line today, back to the 2001. Do you remember that, when TT was cancelled that year because of that? D684, people used to use their legs to make relatively short journeys into town. Will it catch on again? Bluntly, D, I don't think so. I think everybody is now used to having a vehicle. I mean, admitted, people used to, and many people used to cycle to work. 50, 60 years ago, people did used to cycle to work. So cycling to work is nothing new. It's just gone out of fashion. People prefer, I would say, on balance, their privacy, the warmth of their little cubicle inside a vehicle. You can listen to the radio. If you smoke, you can have a smoke. You can take somebody with you and have a chat. So whether or not people will eschew cars and just, you know, learn to live without vehicles, don't know. Will residents of the new 5 minutes, 15 minutes city, by the way, be granted parking permits, says Mike? We don't know. And David dropped me a note in. This is David who said, in the 60s, there were 67 gents' public toilets in the Douglas area. No. Are you making that up, David? 67. Could everybody name all the... I can't believe I'm doing this. Name all the 67 public toilets in the Douglas area. My word, this will start a trend. Thank you, David. 67 of them. Maybe we'll do a map over this. So there's also a word. I was at the Farmers' Concert on Saturday night. The toilets in the Gaiety Arcade, the toilets in the Gaiety were closed. Is that true, 974? And the toilets in the Arcade, I bet that was fun in the Gaiety. What was everybody doing? Nipping onto the beach. The zebra crossings used to be the safe places to cross, but those on Douglas Promenade have parking right up to the crossing, hiding those waiting to cross, says David H. And a lot of these kind of, you know, I can't believe it's not a zebra crossing things that don't have Belisha beacons, the paint's fading on them. So what used to be bright black and white isn't bright black and white anymore. Hospital parking, says Pete. Simple solution, display a copy of the appointment slip on the windscreen. No slip, then you get a parking fine, says 713. It's going to be a fun meeting tonight, isn't it, in Braddon? The Villa Arcade toilets have been closed for over 2 weeks. Is it because the restaurant there closed on the 24th? And Graham drops in, are they trying to encourage more visitors to the Isle of Man? Most of them want to see and take pictures of the grandstand. So why are the gates constantly closed, saying to visitors that we don't want you here? Not that far away, is it? TT, I'm trying to think, TT is on, what is it, Spring Bank Holiday Monday, isn't it? 27th of May, so that's 11 weeks today, TT starts. 8 weeks today, it's the early May bank holiday. 11 weeks today, the TT will be starting. 2 weeks this Thursday is end of term. 2 weeks on Friday is Good Friday. And 2 weeks this Sunday, as well as being Easter Sunday, it's the clocks going forward. Can't wait for it, can you? Thanks also to the loos weren't open at the weekend at the Villa. I watched open mouth as a gentleman. Well, It was among the hedging by the sheds, and there were people in the gardens. Well, what did they expect? If the public loos aren't open, you're encouraging. The bars were open in the Villa and in the Gaiety. What, the bathrooms weren't open there on Friday after the Young Farmers concert. I didn't know that. Regarding the Roundhouse, what have our MHKs got to say about this situation? As usual, we have the sound of silence. It'll be interesting to see whether any MHKs attend tonight's meeting. Of course, Braddon will be middle, which is Jane Paul Wilson and Stu Peters. Well, we'll have a microphone there tonight. I am a little confused, says S in Oncombe. Why would a company reconsider locating to the Isle of Man because of the new parking enforcements at Palatine Practice? Well, not specifically S, I'm saying it, but we employ government civil servants, include a department inside the Department for Enterprise called Locate Isle of Man, you know, which is helping people to come to the Isle of Man. Now, bearing in mind, you have got no hope.
When the man in line's not on air, call Manx Radio to leave your opinion for broadcast on 682 631.
Of getting an NHS dentist for a long time. We're short of GPs. We still have some waiting lists at the hospital. So if you're coming to the Isle of Man and you hear this, what do you think? When you see what purports to be a bus station in Lord Street in Douglas, that's five bus stops and chewing gum all over the pavements, what do you think? Is it a good advert? Or are we just better than everywhere else? Or not quite as bad as everywhere else? That's it. Thanks to Chris Quirk on the phones today. Back with the Foot and Mouth in just a few moments' time. And back with another Open Line tomorrow at high noon on Manx Radio. Enjoy Monday.
W-I-N-T.
30 years serving you as the nation station. This is Manx Radio.
In 2001, the island was under siege from foot and mouth disease. Extraordinary precautions taken in the UK, large areas out of bounds, major sporting events cancelled. The Isle of Man had really clamped down on movements, but the farming industry was desperately worried. An outbreak here could mean all island livestock being destroyed. A precaution which apparently was already in place was the herd of the extraordinary Manx Lockton sheep. They were on the Calf of Man, which was owned by Manx National Heritage.
Initially in February, the instructions from the Animal Health Unit of DAF were that no stock should be moved anywhere. But it is fortuitous in a way, because as an isolation ward, the Calf of Man is about as good as you can get. I think now the experience of the foot and mouth outbreak across has probably indicated that although airborne infection is a possibility, it's much less so than contact through other sources. So if you're a mile or 2 miles away from other stock, it's about as good as you can get on the Isle of Man.
Can they continue living there after the lambs grow up? Is there enough room?
Yes. Well, of course, there is. Every year we take off lambs so that there's a constant sort of recycling and recropping. So, we keep the stock numbers about the same.
But are you allowed to take them off with the current restrictions?
That is a problem just at the moment, but we're hoping that in the autumn that it'll be possible to do that in the late autumn, as it happened, of course, last year.
But anyway, in the long term, it is quite useful to have had this little pocket away, tucked away with these current restrictions.
Very much so. I mean, we held our breath early on. If you remember, there were all sorts of it was information about the infection being able to travel 300 kilometres, and that was rather dangerously close to the distance from, for instance, Wales, where there'd been bad outbreaks in Anglesey. But so far, touching wood, and with the precautions, which have been very, very strict. I mean, I myself went across and we closed down the harbours. We did have a problem earlier on from people who were arriving on these rigid inflatable boats at weekends, to do picnics and things, and we had to stop that very firmly. And fortunately, the general public have been very good about observing the restrictions.
Part of island life for 60 years. This is your Manx Radio.